Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Miracle Manifesting Mondays. My name is Audrey, and I'm here with you every week to remind you that you, me, us, all of us are the miracles manifesting, even if it sometimes seems different. We shall have a guest today. You know we've been doing a run of vegan shows, and we continue to do so for this space and time. After we do our breathing attunement and our affirmation and a little bit more of an intro, you will be getting to meet Victoria Moran, who is a noted vegan author, teacher, and will discuss good karma. She calls it diet. I'm calling it food path. And I'm really pleased to be able to present her to you. First, take this hour as your spa renewal regeneration time. Chance you're doing something that requires your full attention, such as cutting a tomato or changing a baby's diaper, something of that nature, driving a car. Absolutely, pay full attention to what's right there in front of you, most definitely. Otherwise, sit back, relax, loosen your clothing, take off your shoes, and allow yourself to flow with this. We shall start, with our breathing attunement. Take in a nice deep breath, golden energy into your heart. Fill up with a cornucopia of goodness and gently exhale. Let go. Breathe in again, golden, silver, sparkling, iridescent, white, pearlescent light. To every aspect of your being, into your cells, into the thought pattern that creates you, opening, clearing, cleansing, and gently exhale, let go. Again, breathe in, sparkling, scintillating, golden, silver, white, and fuse your light, DNA, into your heart, into your crown chakra, into your root, into all aspects of who you are, hold and release, let go. And we complete with you breathing in silvery white sparkling energy into your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, every aspect. Hold and release. Breathing at your own pace in a gentle, slow, easy manner, whatever feels good for you. Our affirmation, our intention for today is: love is infinite. I am part of the infinity of love. I am infinite. Again, love is infinite. I am part of the infinity of love. I am infinite. Say this, feel this, allow this, breathe with this. Love is infinite. I am part of the infinity of love. I know that there are times when we look at either our own lives, the lives of others, things we see on the planet, things we may not even be fully aware of that are going on the planet, it may seem as though love is not so present. Underlying everything, however, at the core, at the essence, is love. Even if people forget, even if people act differently. I just saw the documentary Cowspiracy, Cowspiracy, which created by Kip Anderson. An amazing tour de force. I recommend everybody see it. If you did not know the effect of, I will call it, animal agriculture and the grazing of cows and what goes on with animals, and this movie, although very deep, only touched on some of what it was, and this movie is extraordinary. This is a wake-up call, including what goes on with planetary devastation. This, to me, compared also with using paper, which is why I espouse 100% post-consumer recycled paper. If people turn vegan the way I am, or vegetarian, at least half, the whole world will shift on so many levels, so very many levels. And to help you understand how and why, from her special and unique perspective, I take huge, great pleasure in introducing you to Victoria Moran, who I met through Jeff Tucker of Earth Save Miami, for whom I am also very grateful. Victoria is an author. She's written quite a few books. She's written 12 books, including Main Street Vegan, Creating a Charmed Life, and new this month, The Good Karma Diet. Her fans range from Michael Moore to Ellen DeGeneres, and she was even featured twice on Oprah, a woman I truly respect. She directs the Main Street Vegan, V-E-G-A-N, Academy in New York, which is an in-person program in the city that trains vegan lifestyle coaches. And she's also listed by Veg News Magazine as among the top 10 living vegetarian authors. It is my pleasure, my real pleasure, to introduce you to Victoria. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to
Hey, Audrey. Thank you. Gosh, that was so nice.
My pleasure. Let us start with something about yourself that you'd like people to know.
How funny.
Vegan.
You know, I guess what I'd like people to know is that I am a Main Street vegan, and that's why I called a book that. That's why it's kind of my little tagline here in the world these days. You know, there are vegans who kind of came through the hippie era, you know, vegans who were there at Woodstock or would have been if they'd been born, and then there are vegans who are kind of the punk rock school of thought, and they've had every kind of pastel hair and all kinds of really fascinating tattoos, and there are celebrity vegans with private chefs and all that to make it really easy, and that is great. You know, every kind of being vegan is good, but I'm a Main Street vegan. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I live in New York City now, but you know, you can take the girl out of the Midwest. You can't take the Midwest out of the girl, and I'm just here to say that anybody whose heart awakens a little bit when they hear these ideas can do it on Main Street or any street.
I really get that. I remember, when I call myself a Main Street vegan, I'm a psychic healer, I'm an artist, I'm an author, I'm that. So that kind of a vegan. I've been vegetarian for 40 years, and I remember when I read Diet for a Small Planet way back in, I think it was the 60s, that was a mega wake-up call. What woke you up, and what do you see happening with yourself and the various people you teach and you've seen go from eating what I will call I don't even know what to call this, the quote-unquote regular American fare?
The regular diet, which is why we have all these TV commercials for drugs that give you regularity.
Right?
Some people call it the SAD, the standard American diet. We have a wonderful cardiologist who is at the Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx. He teaches for Main Street Vegan Academy, Dr. Ostfeld, and he calls it the toxic Western diet, which
yeah,
is
that's
interesting
what it is.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, Audrey, the first wake-up that I had was when I was 5 years old, and I came home from first grade having learned the four food groups, and this wonderful nanny that I had, such a great blessing in my early life. My parents both worked, and so they hired this woman who was grandmother age, and they didn't know that they were getting somebody who was going to raise me on reincarnation and meditation and all religions are going the same place and all that. Well, they did. And I came home and talked about these four food groups, and she said, well, there are some people who never eat any meat, and they're called vegetarians. And I could take you out to Unity Village, which is the headquarters of the Unity Movement near Kansas City, and I could get you a burger made out of peanuts, and you'd think you were having beef. And I remember standing there at the age of five and thinking, there is so much I don't know, and I have a sneaking suspicion my teachers in school don't know it either. So I think that was the first thing. And then I was just really always brought up, particularly by this woman, to have a respect for all living things. Certainly, you know, we took in strays and we tried to save injured baby birds and stuff like that. And then I also had an interest in health because I was overweight and my dad was a doctor. My mother worked in the weight loss industry and I felt like I was a fat kid, bad for business. So even though I was eating a lot of all kinds of food and quite a bit of junk food, I was also reading about nutrition from a young age. So when I actually became serious about wanting to be vegetarian, I was 17 and had been reading yoga books. There were only three yoga books in the Kansas City Public Library at that time, and I had read all of them over and over. And just really believed that to be serious about spiritual growth, I needed to be vegetarian. At that time, vegan was not yet on the horizon, but it was really that combination, even back then, of the animals and the health and the spirituality.
I can relate to that, but I'm not going to give my story right now. We're going to do your story. What have you seen both in yourself as well as in any of the people that you have helped transition from one to another, and what do you espouse in your various books, including the brand new one, Good Karma Diet?
Oh, thank you. Wow, you know, I have been so lucky to write all these books. I think, and nobody has ever told me that I'm wrong about this, I may be, so it's not, you know, gospel. I believe that I wrote the first book on vegan philosophy and practice to ever come from an actual publisher. There were books from the Vegan Society in England and the American Vegan Society, but I had a fellowship in college to go to some foreign country and study something. All you had to do was go somewhere other than the U.S. to do it. So I went to England, Scotland, and Ireland and studied vegans. And I wasn't even vegan yet. I was vegetarian. I tried hard to be vegan, but I was a practicing binge eater at that time. And it was just really difficult to be vegan with that situation going on. But I did go to England, and I met all these amazing people from the early days of veganism. It was actually formed as a word and as a philosophy, although people had done it for millennia. But vegan as a word happened in England in 1944. So I met those people, and I wrote a book called Compassion, the Ultimate Ethic, the basics, really, of the understanding and these same reasons, you know, whether it's animals, health, the environment, personal spirituality, concern for world hunger. it was those were the reasons then, and those are the reasons now. Perhaps a bit more pressing now, as you're talking about Cowspiracy and the environment, but the same reason. So that was my first book back in 1985, and then because I did get recovery for the binge eating disorder and was blessed to be able to become vegan, I wrote a book called The Love Powered Diet that was about spiritual recovery for people with overeating or food addiction kinds of problems. And the first half is about the inner change. The second half is about vegan eating. And I did a couple more in the food area, and then I thought, I've done everything I can do about this. And I had a degree in comparative religions, so I thought, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do more spiritual kinds of books. So for many years, that's what I did. And the two books that I was on Oprah with were those kinds of books. One was called Lit From Within, about bringing out your inner beauty, and Shelter for the Spirit, about making your home nurture your soul. And then my biggest book, which got to be big without Oprah, was called Creating a Charmed Life. And that was one that just really sold quite amazingly and continues to sell, and also is in 30 foreign languages. So that's a blessed book, and I'm really grateful about that. And I was going along and living my life and writing my books, and then I went to a PETA fundraiser in December of 2010, and they showed video footage of things that people do to animals, and I had been seeing that kind of video footage for 35 years. It was nothing new to me, but that night my heart was especially open, and I really wanted to help. And on the way home in the subway, it was just literally dictated to me. Here's what you can do. Your next book is Main Street Vegan, 40 little chapters, a recipe at the end of each one. And that book has just spawned so much. You mentioned the Academy, and there's a radio show, and there's just all kinds of things from that. And now the new one, The Good Karma Diet, kind of takes it up a notch, a little bit greener and cleaner for people who really want to have that glow, who want to have not just, yeah, I feel pretty good, but the spectacular kind of health, so that they can go out there in the world and continue to do good to others and get the good karma back.
I was a teenager. We were having dinner. I come from New York. At the time it was Long Island. I was born in the city, truly in Brooklyn. But I was 17. It was on Long Island, and my family was having dinner. It was some kind of meat. And I looked at it, and suddenly what I saw or felt was this was a piece of an animal and I couldn't eat. And I was vegetarian for 2 days, give or take, 2, 3, something like that. And then because of no kind of support, you can only imagine, that stopped. In my 20s, I read Jess Stern's, oh, I forget the name of it exactly.
Yoga, Youth, and Reincarnation.
It was that one or it was another one, yes. And I learned about yoga, which was, oh, look at this. And I learned, so of course, being a New Yorker, which I was then a New Yorker, I figured I'm in New York. It'll be here. So I found a yoga center near me and learned about sattvic foods. And I said, that's for me. So I briefly became a vegetarian and then, let's just say, in my 20s, got into other levels of experimentation with whatever it was that I chose to experiment with. And then a couple of years later, I thought, when was it I felt so good? What was I doing? I was doing being a vegetarian, not then a vegan, a vegetarian, and I was doing yoga. And from that time on to this, vegetarian, and in the last 7 or 8 years, I would say I'm 80% to 90% vegan, because I'll still use leather products when I have no other choice. And there are certain things that I use that are not fully raw. But I am up front, proud and loud. Not loud, but there. I just had to say it because it rhymed. Vegan. And my health is extraordinary. Extraordinary. And I believe I'm running around a decade before you were running around. So you can only imagine. What would you advise people? Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh,
I don't know. Yeah. I'm 65. I don't know your vintage.
I'm 72.
Okay. Well, you know, we're in the ballpark. And I
yeah.
love what you're saying, because everybody who's even a little bit older than me, I look at as my role model. And what I see is that the people who do the best are the high raw vegans. And I write a lot
mm-hmm.
about that in the Good Karma Diet, because for saving the planet, for saving the animals, as long as you're
mm-hmm.
vegan, it doesn't matter what you eat. But if you want to be 65 or 72 and say, I am incredibly healthy, then you're
yeah.
going to want to, you know, really look for the life-giving foods. So for me, I look for color. I tell people mm-hmm. that their shopping cart and their plate needs to look like a Christmas tree, so it's mostly green with splashes of other bright colors, because that's where the phytochemicals and the
mm-hmm.
Antioxidants are living. And there's just something about that notion of life, you know, life begetting life. And when your food is
mm-hmm.
fresh and just so close to that wonderful prana, that wonderful yogic idea of the magic of creation, that goes into your body, and that's what helps people. The phrase I use in the subtitle of the Good Karma Diet is age in slow motion. And I
yep.
think what it really is that we're aging normally, and the people who are eating that toxic Western diet, the aging process is sped up.
Yes, I know that when people look at me, most of them, if I actually tell them my chronology, they gawk.
Yeah.
Truthfully. You know what is the kind of
yeah.
response I'll get? Nah, you can't be. Because, okay, so I'm what everyone calls petite because I'm barely 5 feet, and which I have to acknowledge has to be little. And I weigh, what, 95 to 98 pounds or something, 99, which when that's my higher, and can jump around, run around, dance, all of that, easily. Don't need to see doctors. Healers, yes. Doctors, no. Okay, because of the level of health.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. I feel that we are going through the years the way we are meant to go through the years, and other people are increasing the level of dis-ease and aging because of, well, frankly, I think a lot of them are asleep and or refusing to take the steps and the right, the responsibility, and the joy of their health and wellness in their own hands. How do you speak with people to empower them to start doing this if they go, as I have spoken with people that had cancer, and I know of how to heal it. At first, I'm a healer, but also Kangen water, vegan diet. I know this can work. And they'll go, nah, I don't want to do that. How do you speak to people like that?
I learned something from my mother, who was a, you know, I now say a really good salesperson. I used to say she was a crack salesperson, and somebody said to me, your mother sold crack? So, no, she was a very good salesperson. And she would say, you don't want to bother with those cold leads. You want to go to your warm leads. You want to go to the people who want what you're selling. And when you have your product in the hands of everybody on this planet who knows they want it, then you can go after the people who don't yet know that they want it. And that has stayed with me because I think there are so many people who are interested, particularly nowadays, because there's just so much more out there about
mm-hmm.
vegan and this and that. Most people know what the word means. A lot of people have seen something on the news, or they've seen a video, or they've watched a documentary. They know that this is something, either doing it all the way or moving in this direction, could be a good thing, and they're fascinated. They just don't know where to turn or what to do first. So those are the kind of people that they just eat it up. You know, any bit of information, you give them a recipe for a green smoothie, they're going to email you the next day and say, I made the green smoothie. Can you give me a green soup recipe? You know, they're really, really into it. So with them, all you have to do is answer the questions and provide information. With the other people, I think all at least I can do, I mean, you're in a different situation because you're a healer and people are coming to you, and so I think you have means for opening them up even if they don't come to you with the openness. But I feel in my position that all I can do with them is just to consider them pregans. I consider everybody who's
That's
not yet
word.
Vegan, they just haven't awakened to it yet. You know, they'll be vegan in time. I just trust that. And just to shine my light. And whenever you have something that people want, they're going to ask how you got it. So for that reason, I do try to take good care of myself with eating the great food, getting enough sleep. I don't want to get enough sleep. I want to stay up and keep writing, you know, and doing things. But I know, you know, that's important. And getting out to the gym and to the yoga class, these are important things because each of us who discovers this becomes an ambassador for this.
That's
and we want to be a good one.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the people that come to me for any kind of consultations are already ready.
Yes.
The others, especially, no, I'm not even going to say that. Let's just say in certain areas, there are people who actually can get nervous. You're a healer. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if they ask my belief system in terms of religion, if I tell some people I'm cosmic, analyze it to see what book it's written in, which it's written in my book, The Mother's Manual, and a few other books that, but they look for more traditional books, and I literally have to explain what that means, which, by the way, what that means is that I'm not, even though I'm born into a particular religion, I know that spirituality is universal, that however one wants to relate to creator creation, we all have our path. Love is the key. And we all innately know what's the higher and the lower thing to do. We're born with that. And that's just a little tiny piece of that, rather than this particular religion or that particular religion or only this way or only that way. What
right.
are some of your health risks? Yeah, you understand that, right?
I do indeed. You know, I and part of me, this woman that I told you about that was really, I always called her my grandmother, even though we weren't biologically related. I feel so lucky that I was brought up with that universal perspective. And even my parents, even though I was theoretically supposed to be Roman Catholic, my dad had his medical practice in a very transitional kind of neighborhood in Kansas City. When he'd started his practice, it had been a lot of Eastern Europeans, a lot of Jewish people, and then it kind of transitioned, and by the time I was born, it was mostly African American. So he had had patients and friends through the years from all kinds of different cultures and traditions. So when I was a little child, we were going to Greek Orthodox weddings and everybody's bar mitzvahs and big black Baptist funerals. And even though the nuns at the Catholic Church were telling me, no, you should only go to this church, we were going to everybody's kind of church and temple and all the rest. And I just feel like that's such a gift because it's a big world. And I think when you can instill in a child a little bit of that, you know, diversity and vastness, it's a great gift. And then I majored in comparative religions when I went to college. I went to college late, actually, and I got out of high school and started working as a writer. I'd started writing for teen magazines when I was 14, so I was already making money as a writer. And then when it was finally time for me to go to college, everybody said, oh, so you'll major in journalism. And I'm like, are you kidding? I've been doing journalism all my life. I'm going to study the meaning of life. Why else would, you know, like Einstein said, I want to know God's thoughts. The rest is commentary. So it's a beautiful thing when you get that at a young age. And I know a lot of people didn't. And so it's a little bit more difficult to kind of open up, even to the idea that this universal cosmic energy, call it God or call it whatever you want to call it, is really loving. Because some people grow up believing, well, there is a deity, but you better watch out because he's got his eye on you. Or, you know, there's just nothing and nothing has any meaning and it's all random and you're just here and then you'll die. And if you have, you know, this kind of background, it's very hard to create for yourself later the idea of this loving presence. But through practices like meditation and even changing to a gentle diet, because when you're eating foods that vibrate at a higher frequency, like raw foods from the plant kingdom, sprouts, beautiful, colorful fruits, these kinds of foods, your bloodstream is cleaner, and so your brain is more open to some of these higher ideas, and it's easier. You know, it's not to say that somebody eating junk food can't be a very spiritual person. Of course they can, but why not make it easier by eating this beautiful, pure, clean kind of food? Then you just don't have to work so hard at it.
Yeah, to me that in all truth is a lack of alignment on some issue. Let me give out some of your phone numbers and your email. Shall I give your office or your cell, or do you care? Which number would you prefer I give?
I generally don't give a phone number. My website is mainstreetvegan.net.
Okay. That what you want?
Yeah, that would be great. Mainstreetvegan.net. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. So everybody, to reach Victoria, go to Main Street Vegan, MAINSTREET, Vegan, VEGAN.net. Now, I know you're going to be here in Florida. Yay. Would you like to tell us where you're going to be speaking and presenting and some of what you shall be sharing?
Oh, sure. Thank you so much. Let's see. I am going to be in two cities in Florida for the lovely Earth Save organization down there. So the first is Tamarack, and that's on May 29th, and then I'll be in Coral Gables on May 30th for Earth Save Miami, and you can just go to Google Earth Save Miami, and all the information is right there. And I'm going to be talking about some of the ideas in the Good Karma Diet, the idea of a high green, high life force, high energy kind of way of eating, and also what has sometimes been called the look great, feel amazing, age later lifestyle. Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, but it's true.
It is true.
I love that.
Yeah, you do, and I can tell that we have not met in person, but just by voice, you have this energy, you know, this strength and this power. I re-met after, oh golly, almost 50 years, I guess, my first yoga teacher. I lived in London when I was 18, so it hadn't been 50 years, but it had been 45 since I'd seen her. And I found her through the miracle of the internet, and she's still teaching 3 yoga classes a week at the age of 90. And how I knew that things were really, really going well for her was when I spoke with her. She had this strong, powerful voice. And you have that as well. And so great that you're doing radio.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, I have my own vegan book. Actually, we will call today a changing day. Let us just say, and I'm amazed I'm going to say this, but I am. I had to change my graphic designer because, let's just say, there were past life influences and I needed somebody else, much as I also love them both, which I will not name names because that I won't do, so that my book could be finished getting designed and I could bring forth Vim Vigor Vitality Vegan. And
ooh,
I tell a little bit of...
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. With a bunch of recipes. And I have a unique palette. So I like things sometimes with a little kick, although also mild. And for people who may not know One of the most amazing things about raw vegan is the taste, the energy of the food. And if you like desserts, which I do, I do, the best desserts you can possibly have are raw vegan. Do you like desserts?
I like raw vegan desserts. They're spectacular. The taste, it's like, wow. And with other desserts, it just tastes like sugar. You know, it tastes sweet, and we like sweet because we're mammals and we're humans, and I mean, mother's milk is the highest in sugar of any mammals because we're supposed to be fruit eaters. So, yeah, okay, most people like sweets. But these raw desserts are actually made out of food instead of out of refined flour and refined sugar and heated so that everything is messed up. So, yeah, I am a great fan of raw desserts. I love doing raw chocolate cake, raw chocolate mousse. Every now and then I'll do a fruit pie. That takes kind of a lot of time, so I need to be very motivated to do that. But, you know, one of my favorite desserts and my lovely recipe creator for the Good Karma Diet, Doris Finn, she has put it with a little variation in the recipe section of this book, and that is magic banana ice cream. That what we used to make years ago when there weren't any kind of packaged vegan ice creams. But, you know, it's still so good. It's like soft serve. You peel a really ripe couple of bananas, and you can put them through a champion juicer if you have one of those. But otherwise, you just cut them into, like, inch segments and put them in a food processor. You need to scrape down the sides a couple of times. And it's Dairy Queen, except it's a banana. That's why it's magic.
I get that. A friend of mine gave me a little appliance. You don't really plug it in. Well, do I? I don't remember. I'm going to start called a Yonana. And
I've heard of those.
Oh, it's fabulous. I make quote unquote ice cream, but it isn't ice cream. It's made with frozen bananas and whatever else I choose to use, like frozen strawberries or raspberries, happen to like those, or anything else. And then I make my own raw vegan cacao, quote unquote, chocolate syrup.
Ooh,
that I sweeten.
Ooh.
That I sweeten with dates. And because I like raisins, I sprinkle those, and either, depending on what I'm in the mood for, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. Oh, my gosh. So it's absolutely yummy. And
so
healthy.
Yummy. And what? I mean, I just have to figure, you know, God or nature, very good cook, very, very good cook, because the food, the raw food is already cooked. Now, I'm not a complete raw fooder, and I live up here in the cold part of the world, and so I do want my hot soups and oatmeal and things like that in the colder seasons. But even when it's cold, I need to have some raw food, because somebody was explaining this to me, that in these wonderful parts of the world that aren't wonderful and sunny all the time like where you are, we need to get that sunlight when we're not getting it from the sun. And the way you get it is from the fruits that grew in the sun. So even in the wintertime, even when you're having your hot oatmeal, you want to put some wonderful blueberries on there and some lovely nuts that you soaked to just be sprouted a tiny little bit and just get some of that life going that way. But, you know, we always think about raw, or, you know, in the conventional world, that it's just not quite ready. Raw means not done. But when you really think about it, it's completely done. It's cooked by the sun. And when it's ready, it's ripe. So it's ready. It's ready now, and it's really good.
That's true. I know when I was in New York, and as I said, that's where most of my life has been spent, in the winter, I would start making what I call my root stews. I'd make baked beet with tahini sauce, I'd make whatever concoction I came up with, and it was delicious. Here in Florida, as you said, it's different. In the warmth, it's a lot easier to be raw vegan. The body acclimates to it a lot more. And I can't even tell you how amazing it is to be able to be, give or take, 80, 90%. I mean, I still use oils. Do you use oils?
You know, I do.
I do.
I don't use a lot of oil, but I don't think oil is the devil. Some people do.
No.
But and I think that certain oils, like olive oil, for instance, you know, it's the people who don't like oil say that it's just extracted. But it's really pressed. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm half Italian, so maybe that's my pro-olive oil prejudice. But I'm fine with it. I make salad dressings out of nuts whenever I have gotten up and soaked the nuts and gone through that
mm-hmm.
process. And
yep,
when
yep.
I haven't, then I'll just make a vinaigrette with, you know, some olive oil and balsamic vinegar, a little Dijon mustard. And, yeah, I'm fine with it. And, again, not a lot. And I understand, certainly, if somebody wants to lose weight, you don't want to be having very much oil because it's 100 calories in a mere tablespoon. I mean, you could have a whole gargantuan salad made in a giant salad bowl, and there wouldn't be 100 calories in it. And then you put on 2-3 tablespoons of olive oil, and there you've got 300 calories just, you know, at the start. So it's not the kind of thing that you want to just be having by the cup. But I'm fine with oil. And again, in the winter, if I were eating a completely oil-free, very low-fat diet, I don't think
yeah.
I'd ever go outside. I'd be
yeah.
so cold.
Yeah, no, I couldn't see that. And as a healer, I'm already going, no. I know for myself, this whole thing, I also had a food dysfunction. And it was a friend who tuned in, this was years after the fact, and told me I was addicted to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know, and this was way before there was even a conversation about anything like that. It wasn't even in mass consciousness at the time. And when I got beyond that, and part of the story is in my book, Zen Vigor Vitality Vegan, and then shifted, at this point, I don't count calories at all.
Mm-mm.
My body knows what to eat and when to eat, and I've kept it simple. And I think of Eddie's kiss, keep it simple, sweetheart.
Yes.
And yes. And sometimes the prep takes a moment or two in time, and I'll explain one of my favorite things. What do you tell people if they say to you, how do you get protein?
I say, what a fascinating question, because to them it is. And I remember when that was my biggest worry, when I was first going vegetarian, I was terribly concerned about it. So why is everybody concerned about it? We have been trained to be concerned about this thing that really is a non-issue. You know, if somebody asks me about B12, well, that's an issue. You know, it's not in plants reliably, and so the general consensus is that vegans and anybody over 50, according to the Academy of Medicine, needs to be supplementing B12. Okay, iron for a young woman, childbearing age, if she's someone who's prone to being anemic. And the interesting statistics are, it's 50-50. Your likelihood of being an anemic young woman as a vegan or as an omnivore are just equal. Some young women are more prone to that, so of course they need to pay more attention to their iron than somebody else. So there are certainly a few things to watch for, regardless what way a person chooses to eat. But protein, unless you're eating all junk food, I mean completely junk food, you know, I mean powdered drink mix and Twizzlers, or unless you're eating absolutely only fruit, no leaves, no nuts, just fruit, and that is absolutely it, it is theoretically possible in those cases that you could get less than 5% of calories from protein, which is what the World Health Organization considers ideal. And even with that, there is room for error built in, so that it accounts for some people who may have a biochemical need for a higher protein level than is the norm. But the favorite thing that I tell people about protein is there is a vegan medical doctor, and he's actually one of the ones who doesn't believe in using oil. But anyway, we don't all have to agree on everything. But that's Dr. John McDougall in Santa Rosa, California. He put $10,000 into a bank account back in 1985. And that $10,000 was earmarked for any physician, dietitian, or nutritionist who could create a diet based on whole plant foods that was deficient in protein. That money is still sitting in that bank account. That is how much of a non-issue protein is. So have some beans, you know, some sprouted beans if you're raw, or some pistachios or some quinoa, because these have lysine. Hemp seed has lysine in it, too. That's one amino acid. But if you're eating kind of the old macrobiotic 1970s kind of diet, yeah, where you're eating a whole lot of grains, then it, theoretically you could be a little low in lysine. But just having some beans or some sprouted beans, you're fine. Protein is not the problem. Rejoice. And just be grateful you're not getting too much, because the work of Dr. T. Colin Campbell at Cornell and many other researchers has shown that too much animal protein certainly turns on cancer cell growth, and lowering that protein turns it off. Very important to note.
What I'm going to add, and thank you for that, is people who eat like that are normally acidic. And when someone is acidic rather than alkaline, which we need to be as humans to be healthy, if someone is acidic, it is actually a breeding ground for the possibility of cancer, diabetes, and so many other diseases that some people get and think. Some people actually think certain things are a normal part of life, such as when you get older, you get sick, which is so not true. So not true. It's lifestyle.
That is so interesting that you would say that. I was just speaking with someone else about that today, a lovely, lovely woman named Lois Eastland, who is a vegan fashion designer. She's just coming out with a line of exercise wear. And she was over here presenting me with a dress, which was quite lovely. But we were talking about that very thing, that the norm in the society is, well, there's got to be something wrong with you. Certainly if you're over 40, there's going to be something wrong with you. You know, you don't have to necessarily be falling apart, but certainly you're taking an antidepressant or blood pressure medicine or a blood thinner or a cholesterol lowerer or something for diabetes. I mean, it's just accepted. And if you go into a doctor's office, they will say, what medications are you taking? Not, do you take any? So that the answer could be yes or no. And when you say that you don't take any and that you're fine, then people think you're a special, like a prodigy, only you're a health prodigy. Like, well, you know, Einstein was really smart and you're really healthy, but you guys were both like at the far end of the bell curve. No, I mean, maybe Einstein was at the far end of the bell curve, but people who are healthy because they live this way, they're healthy because they live this way.
Exactly. And what I tell, I love it. I'm going to so look forward to meeting you. I am looking forward to it.
The minute you talked about sattvic foods, I knew that we were kindred spirits.
I tell people it's a spiritual, physical, mental, emotional aspect. Deal with one's emotions. You can't forget that, because they won't forget you. Look at your thought patterns. Upraise. It's a process, and it doesn't stop. The food you eat, when you eat, do you bless your food? Do you allow the energy to rise?
Yes.
Do you exercise? Do you give gratitude? Even when stuff is going, shall we say, differently than what you would like? Do you develop trust? It's ongoing. I'd like to ask you to say anything and everything that you would like to say that I may have not yet asked you, so you can be as complete as possible in this moment.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, what comes to mind is that I would love to share with your listeners about Main Street Vegan Academy, because that's really my baby. I mean, I have a human baby who's all grown up. She's a lifelong vegan, and she works as a stunt performer, so lest anybody worry that we're wimpy over here. She's actually the stunt double for the young Batman on the Fox series Gotham, so she's pretty cool. And then I have a sweet little adopted dog here. He's also my baby. But my other baby is Main Street Vegan Academy, which grew out of my 2012 book, Main Street Vegan, and is just such a blessing in my life and I believe to the world. What it is an in-person program. It's 5.5 days in New York City. And people say, oh, my gosh, I have to get to New York City. And I say, well, if you want to go to Harvard, you have to get to Cambridge, Massachusetts. So if you want to come to Main Street Vegan Academy, where you'll be trained and certified as a vegan lifestyle coach and educator, just check out the academy at mainstreetvegan.net. And we have an amazing faculty. And then we take field trips, because New York City is kind of Disneyland for vegans. So we go to a raw food market and an Indian spice shop, and we have wonderful lectures and presentations from some of the top people in the vegan movement. We have a cardiologist, a dietitian, an animal rights lawyer, two vegan fashion designers. The young man who teaches our marketing class was tapped by the Shark Tank TV show to write their business book. So, you know, vegans are out in every area of life and work in this world. And if you would like to kind of up your outreach and up your game and turn this into a business, or maybe just a side business to begin with and see where it goes, do check out Main Street Vegan Academy. So thank you for asking.
Oh, this is my pleasure. And everyone, remember to reach Victoria, and her whole name is Victoria Moran. Go to mainstreetvegan.net or Google her. I mean, we're in the age of Google, Victoria Moran.
Isn't it a great word?
We are. I know.
I think that if they had called it, if they had called it Leonard or, I don't know, something else, I'm just not sure it would have caught on, but Google is a happy-making word.
It is, and then there were ones that I haven't even used yet, Bing and others. I still, at least at this moment, use Google.
Well, it's almost I think it's, you know, you talked about having a simple way of eating, and I think there's something to be said for a simple way of living. It's like, how many search engines do you need? You know, how many email addresses do you need? How many ways to be reached? You know, sometimes simple is good.
Yeah. It's like, I will state this. I like nuts, and I get a lot of my protein through nuts. For breakfast, I make a raw nut granola that takes some time to prepare. And then I have enough of a supply, and it lasts, and it stays good in the refrigerator for 2 or more months. And I have the most absolutely delicious breakfast ever. And it's sweetened with fruit, and I make my own, I'll call it chocolate. It's really made with raw cacao nibs or carob or a combination and whatever nut and blah, 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 in the morning. And it's eating ambrosia.
Ooh.
It is. It's, maybe I'll bring you some if you, well, we'll see. We'll talk.
Oh, I'd love it. And I can hardly wait to get a hold of your book and those recipes.
As soon as the new graphic design, gets it. We're going to release after Mercury's going retrograde tomorrow. After it goes direct again on June 11th, we'll be releasing. Thank you
great.
For that.
You're welcome.
And all of your stuff. Again, everyone, to reach Victoria, it's mainstreetvegan.net. I'm going to give you one more moment before I close the show to say whatever it is from any aspect of you for anyone listening in.
That the universe sees you right now as a spectacular being, is absolutely magnificent, successful, doing what you came to this planet to do. So just agree with the universe because it's really smart.
I love that. Thank you so very much. And that
Thank
was.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Victoria Morant. Folks, we have been privileged to really be visiting with the amazing Victoria Moran. Next week, I am going to be continuing with either another amazing vegan or chef or somebody, or I shall be the guest. And we will either be discussing something about the effect, and I'm going to find a way to do this in as positive a manner as possible, of what's going on the planet with the raising of cattle and other animals, what it's doing to the water, what it's doing to the land, what it's doing regarding hunger, what it's doing regarding earth changes, and that kind of thing, and things that we can do to make a difference. In the meanwhile, I am going to say a few things for myself. Those of you who have been listening know that I have a children's book. It's an ABC affirmation art coloring book, process of being certified green. The name is What If You Are and Life is Miraculous. I am looking towards publishing in June and having a launch date. This is what I'm looking towards at the summer solstice. I am also looking towards releasing Vim Vigor Vitality Vegan as a PDF also at the summer solstice. If you want more information, go to Facebook. Well, you can be in touch with me for sure at 1-888-757-3223. That's 1-888-757-3. If you know my cell number, you can use it, but I don't give that one out on the air. And you can go to facebook.com/whatifabc about the What If book. And you can go to facebook.com/VimVigorVitalityVegan for the vegan book. And I will be on those Facebook pages more than I've been in the past. Now, I now thank you. I thank you for listening. I thank you for being the energy, the light, the beauty, the love, the possibility that you are. I thank you for interest in growth, evolution, bliss, making a difference in your own life, on the planet, in the multiverse, in ways that could go beyond anything you know. Even sometimes smiling at somebody changes their very energy and vibration, plus your own. Please share this show with everyone you know. And remember, we are archived. You can listen to us at any time. And if ever you're feeling less than wonderful, always listen to the beginning of the show, do the affirmation, do the breathing attunement. May you be blessed. May your life flourish. May the universe, source, goddess, God, the living light, whatever you call, prime cause, shine deeply, beautifully within you. May you live the life of your heart, your dreams, and your soul. Thank you so very much. Bye-bye for now. And thank you.